up? This is Joe from Dead, and you're listening to Interview Under Fire.
All right, everyone, Sunny back here with another new episode of Interview Under Fire. Joe Cotella, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for joining our podcast today on IUF. A big and important time of the year for you and the guys over at Dead with the release of your new single, Parasite, which dropped a few weeks back. And you have a second studio album that's also in the works. First off, congratulations on all of the well-deserved recognition you've been getting so far. But before we get to all that, I'm going to ask a very important question to start off. Putting you on the spot, it's a simple question, but it's an important one to ask nowadays. How are you? How have things been for you and the guys over at Dead? And I know you're in New York, so how's life out there right now?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty good, you know, I think all things considered. You know, I'm good, the guys are good, everybody's, you know, everybody's been healthy. And I'm up in New York with Maria out here, and the guys are in Arizona right now, and everybody's doing good. Everybody's doing good. We're just, you know, trying to navigate it best like everybody else, you know, just day to day. You know, you're gonna have good days and bad days, and you know, I'm trying to keep in touch with everybody all the time, and you know, we're writing music and sending music back and forth and all that kind of, just like what we always do, really, you know. Except usually we're on tour actually, so it's like that's the only different thing. But you know, everybody's doing good. Everybody's just trying to, you know, just vibe through this and wait for it to hopefully go away, and hopefully we can get back to, you know, doing things the way we want to do things. But I'm pretty good, you know. I'm like I said, just like any some days I'm super frustrated, and some days I'm like super thankful to be able to like have to like stop and slow down, and you know, that kind of thing. I guess looking at my own little bubble, my own little world, you know, I'm like just trying to do the best I can inside of that, you know.
You know, staying positive and staying busy during this time is very challenging. It's either easier said than done. You know, being away from the stage a lot as of late, how are you keeping up your vocals and guitar chops these days? Is that affecting your musicianship? Has anything changed for you routine-wise lately, if at all?
Well, the only thing that's changed routine-wise is not being out on the road, really. But other than that, there's always that like being creative thing, or like or lack of, like, because I feel like for sure after we did our album and we were touring, and we do our album and we tour, we did that all last year, and then, you know, it was very just over and over and over and over again. So you know, like my voice, it just always holds. It really just seems to hold up. I've been playing music for a long time, so like once it's time to go and tour again, I'm sure I'll just, you know, get used to it again. It's just like a muscle, you know, you work it out and it works again for you. And you know, I've just been playing guitar, acoustic guitar, and I hadn't done that. I hadn't like stopped and sat down and like played acoustic or any sort of guitar really for a long time, because we were just always doing stuff. So that's been really nice actually. And like singing kind of like chiller stuff and just kind of practicing songs and writing again. Cause I, you know, after writing the album and touring, I just didn't have any creativity in me really. Like there just wasn't anything flowing that I felt was worthwhile. And really in the last month or two, I've started getting that feeling again where I was writing things of value. And there's just like an energy or a warmth that I feel like for me that flows through me when I'm writing something that's good or something that, you know, that I think is worthwhile at least to listen to and show to everybody. So, and you know, like being here with Maria, she's playing piano and singing, and I'll play guitar, we'll like sing together. And so it's really cool, you know, really cool for us to just kind of be creative. And if any of that, you know, ends up seeing the light of day, cool. But, you know, we're just, you know, just being artists, you know, just trying to, you know, fulfill our soul's purpose that we, you know, that we love to sing, we love to create, you know, that kind of thing. So
you guys are doing that. Does this pandemic, now that you're home, everything you've been talking about, what you've been busy with, does it open up new things for you personally and artistically that you may have not noticed before about yourself? We're talking 6 months already into this. It's crazy.
Right. In 6 months, man, you know, I don't know. I feel like it has in a way, like I feel different, you know, like I feel, I've been enjoying like nostalgic things. I've been going back late at night in the dark, like putting on headphones and like listening to old albums that I used to enjoy a lot, or that I haven't really listened to in a long time, or like watching older movies. I've been really into like nostalgia stuff for some reason.
Name a movie or an album that you revisited.
Yeah. One that I revisited was, there's a few, but I went back and listened to Weezer Blue album, which was a favorite of mine, you know,
a favorite of mine too.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a classic.
Yeah. The Green Jelly album, which I don't know if you are familiar with them.
Okay, man, if we're going to talk nostalgia, this is going to be like a whole separate episode now. Now you're going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
That's so awesome that you brought that up. Holy crap. Me and maybe my older brother are the only other people. Well, he actually lent it down to me. He's older, so he knew about that before I did. But that's awesome that you brought that up. That's great.
Yeah, like, because I loved back in the day, I mean, real young, like that Three Little Pigs video, and it was just heavy and whatever. I got the album.
Yeah.
It's weird. And it, but it, I went back and listened to it. I was like, it's just fun and it's awesome. Oh man, what were some other ones? I just did that with Ozzy, No More Tears, actually, which was, I remember like being real little and loving that. And so anyway, just a few of them. And then, you know, as well as new stuff, I listened to that new Manson album, which was awesome. I really loved it.
Yeah.
So sort of that, and then like, you know, watching a bunch of older movies and things, but aside of that too, like, I started meditating a lot, doing some breath work meditating, like deep breathing meditating and stuff like that, which I feel like has unlocked and opened things from my soul that I've been maybe harboring or whatever it is. And that's been huge for me. So I suggest that to anybody, is to look up like deep breathing meditation. I think it's huge to exercise those demons in a way. It's really awesome. So that's been a huge thing. And really having the time to really like work out and like, just slow down and do all those things that, you know, that you don't always have time to do, I guess.
You know, everything that you mentioned, you know, nostalgia, meditating, just staying busy during this time. And we're already, again, half a year into this. One thing that was very constant in your life was extensive touring. You guys did tour a lot, 4 years within Dead. You know, you guys toured with some of my favorite bands. You know, you toured with Korn, Animals as Leaders, Stone Sour, Yellow Wolf. In this moment, big shout out to Maria. You played at Full Force, Chicago Open Air, Rock on the Range, Aftershock. The list goes on for Dead. Right. But I want to ask, what was your favorite part about touring? Because now you're kind of taking like an unseen step back. And does it make you have a growing appreciation of the touring life? Because we're talking culture, fans, even the food. There's just so many things to pick apart about it. What was your biggest takeaway from the touring life?
From touring life? I think, I mean, that's what it is culture. It's living that life, where you're like, what do you call it? Like a banded gypsies or whatever, you know, like you're out there on the road and it's just you and your people and, you know, and then, you know, the other bands around you. So there's like this cool, it's like a circus, you know, and, you know, seeing all those places, meeting all those people, like you're saying, like touring with some of my idols, and meeting them and becoming friends with them and having them respect your art, you know, when you make something and you're inspired by somebody and then they like it, there's like something really cool about that. You know what I mean? For sure. Like that's like the coolest, one of the coolest things really as an artist is to have your influences appreciate what you did when you were influenced by them in a way. So that's amazing. I mean, there's a lot of it. I mean, it was a whirlwind because it happened real fast. Like we've been in bands before and it never popped off the way Dead did, you know, it just seemed to just pop off and it seemed to just, you know, people just dug it. So, you know, there's a huge appreciation for all of that, you know, without a doubt. And you know, I would just say that, like, I, you know, I've always wanted that. I've always wanted the whole world to be my home, not just to feel like, oh, Arizona is the only place I really know that well. I really wanted the whole world to be that way because, you know, there's so much out there to see. There's so much that I want to know and learn and I want to be cultured and I want to understand how other people think about things and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to just live in my little bubble. So I guess all of those things, you know, happened with touring and meeting people, learning new ideas, just seeing things. I don't know. It's just, we're these living entities that we pretty much are just experiencers inside of bodies. You know, we're just here to really experience. That's what we do. We experience all the time. And so I guess just feeding that, you know, is very, feels good, you know, feels good to me. And so it's been amazing. Really.
You know, speaking of experience, and you've seen this, a lot of bands have been doing it and live streaming. A lot of the bands take what they've been doing live, everything just talked about, onto what we're doing. You know, we're doing this interview in virtually. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to the Metallica live streaming show. I don't know if you knew about that. They were doing that throughout the nation.
And I did. Yeah,
I went to, so Dallas had it, and Dallas, it sold out like immediately. And luckily my friend had a ticket for me. And
oh, nice.
It was different. you know, I want to transition this because it made me feel sad almost, because while the experience was great, you know, obviously when it's a live experience, it's like, oh yeah, let me see your horns, guys. Instead of that, it was, let me hear you honk your horns, guys. So all the cars in the lot, they just honked their horns anytime a song was done. You know, 3 Days Grace was there too as well. And it was great. It was nice to see people again, just to have that experience, excuse me. But it made me miss the live experience even more. Of course, it's different if I see Dead in front of the stage, like Joe Cattell in front of me, the atmosphere that you guys bring. And I know live experience is important for you guys. So I wanted to ask, being on the road as long as you have, being in different acts and different bands as long as you have, with the experiences that you've taken in, do you think the quarantine-induced live streaming surge that we're seeing right now, is that going to affect the touring musician business going forward? Do you still see bands doing this even after all this is over?
I think everyone's going to want to go out and physically tour. I do think what it's doing for a lot of people is making them take a step back and not completely rely on touring to be like their main source of revenue, I think. So I think, especially for some of the bigger bands, and this isn't necessarily including me, but some of the bigger people, I think they're making money on like doing their Twitch and doing different things like that. So they're finding all these ways to make money. So it might not be as imperative for them to tour all the time. Like they were possibly, you know, that's one of the things, like if it's Twitch or however they're making different ways of making money now, you know? So I think that's going to be a huge thing. Because you know, that's one of the main reasons that a lot of bigger bands tour, and for a band like us that's growing and things like that, I think we're definitely, you know, we're all about momentum and stuff. We tried to really keep that momentum from that first album. We're in this recording our second album, going out on tour, recording the album, you know, going on tour. So we're trying to keep that momentum going. And then obviously this happened and completely squashed that. But you know, so now there's like a new momentum that you try to build in this, inside of this environment. And then, but once we're allowed to, again, yeah, we're going to tour like crazy. I imagine a lot of bands are still going to want to tour like crazy. You know, I'm not a huge fan of playing like, you know, on a live stream, unless it's really done properly. You know what I mean? Like I really want the feeling of the show to come through, and it's frustrating because I really just like being in a moment with people. I like being close. I like being hot and stinky and sweaty, and I like them being hot and stinky and sweaty with me, you know, like that. That's just, you know, I don't know. That's how I grew up. That's the way I love it. I like being in person. Again, I like experiencing, I like being there and doing it.
Man, I was at a show. I'm sure that's how life was before all this started. I was at a show every week, almost if not every other day. And that was just the lifestyle, you know, and of course all this started now. I haven't seen a movie. I haven't gone to a show in over half a year. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm used to it. I don't know. I don't want to get used to it, obviously. I know you don't want to get used to it. It's definitely challenging being cooped up when you're used to just being around so many people and making an impact live. And there were some bands that I interviewed on this podcast a few months back, and they were saying an album doesn't feel finished until you have the opportunity to present it live to the fans. Do you feel that same way?
In a way, like, I guess I would put it, you know, the work is finished, like the album is finished, it's there, but that is such a part of that process, you know. I think definitely for an artist, recording it, bringing it to them, to people in a live manner, is like, that's not the icing on the cake, but yeah, you, like, I agree with them, whoever's saying that, I agree with that in a way, you know. And even as an artist, you learn about your album that you don't even, you know, as you play the songs and you talk to people about the songs and all this stuff, you learn like, oh, that's, I didn't even know that I was doing that, but I totally did that. You know what I mean? You learn about your album as time goes on. Like right when you finish it and it's done, and everybody's like, oh, what's this about? What's this about? And everything, you're like, I don't even know yet. You know, I just recorded it. You know, you're just kind of there and you're just kind of like, that's just what I did. You learn from your own music. I'll listen to music that I made 15 years ago and I'll be like, oh man, I was saying some cool shit back then, you know what I mean? Or whatever. And you still learn from yourself, just like you learn from someone else's music, I think. I would say that's a part of the life of an album would be the touring aspect of it, without a doubt. Like it's part of the life. Yeah.
Yeah, very true. I know we talked about a lot of things. I promise we'll get to your new music right now. So, you know, your second album's in the works. You know, Parasite came out. Love, love, love that song. You know, it was. I think it was a great compliment to Mannequin Eyes that came out earlier this year. I feel like they both complimented each other. So I wanted to ask, when did the idea, and I don't know how much of the second album that you can talk about, you know, at Liberty, you have the freedom to do that. But I want to ask, when did the idea or production start for you for Parasite? Was it right after Mannequin Eyes? Was like, did you have an idea that you wanted to convey with Parasite? It's like, okay, we got this out. Let's do a follow-up. Or was the second album already in the works in there? Or is Parasite part of that second album?
No, the album is done. So it was like, we were releasing a Mannequin Idol and Eyes and Shut, the Mannequin Eyes little micro EP thing was going to be the first thing we put out. And then, you know, the day those came out, I think was like 2 days before we went into quarantine, I think. So it was like right there, like right on it. We were planning on releasing those songs and then probably the next song we released probably would have been releasing the album around that time, really, but it just got slowed down. So we released those songs with the music video. We did like a revised version of Mannequin Idol that's more of like a chill kind of like, I don't even know what it is. It's more of like a chill, like with like a hip hop beat underneath it. And then we did, it was like, cool, let's keep putting music out. So we also just shot a new music video for another new single that's going to come out in the near future. Awesome. And, you know, we're just like, I guess having the whole album, it really gave us a chance to kind of like be like, well, this is how you're going to hear the album now in a way. So it's kind of cool in that sense of like, we're not going to throw you at the whole thing and then you have to digest it all. And then, you know, cause then you like a couple tracks, those would be your favorites. And then you move on. It's kind of cool to like release it and have that control of like, this is what you're going to hear first. This is what you're going to hear next. This is what you're going to hear. So there's a really cool power in that. And it makes the experience different than if we had just released the whole thing. So, and I'm thinking with the next song and with the next video, we'll release some album details and hopefully have like a date for the album when that happens.
How much did things change from when you first started writing on this album to where you ended up finishing it? And I'm talking about the second album. Like, did a lot change? Did nothing change? Was there already a specific sound you wanted to achieve with this album? Because in another interview, you said Dead is still shaping their sound. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. I think on the first album, you know, we were just doing it really for like when we started it too, you know, so the first album includes 2 years of us just having fun making music at home with no thought of like, let's try to like do anything with this. It was really like really, and I've said this a handful of times, it was really just to be like this really heavy band and just play on like Saturday nights at like a dive bar somewhere, because we had all been in bands before and we were kind of sick of like just being in a band and like trying to make people like you and, you know, trying to, you know, get a manager and try, you know, all that shit, you know what I mean? Like, even though I had, you know, record deals and stuff before, regardless, just playing that game, it was just like, fuck this. Like, let's just do something for fun, because I felt like music was losing its fun for me in a way. I was like trying to do it for the wrong reasons almost, you know? And so when we did Dead, it was just super fun. And, you know, we had an idea, you know, we had a few bands, where let's kind of try to vibe on this. Let's try to do this. And then, as it went, you know, it turned into what it was. And then the album, we had a first EP that never got released, and I don't know if we'll ever release that someday, but it was really heavy and like more heavy and violent, more than anything that we had. I guess Architect, the opening on our debut album, was on that EP. So that one made the album.
Got me excited now.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, maybe we'll release that someday, but I'm trying to think of the question. We did put ourselves in some sort of a box where we're like, this is the Dead sound. This is what we need to sound like at that time. We're like, does this sound like Dead? You know, like whatever that was nothing, but we used to say that all the time. And then as we did the album, I think we had a sound. And then on this newer one, it was like, what Dead sounds like, whatever we want it to sound like, really, you know, Dead doesn't sound like what anybody else says it sounds like. We are the band. We are the people making it. So it is an extension of us. So it is whatever we want it to be. With that said, it's not like in a like a shitty way where it's like, we're going to do whatever we want. It's like, we respect the fans that like the first album. We respect those songs. We still love those songs, but we're in a new place. You know, think of 2.5 years later in your life. You know, you're the same person you were, you know, like for 2.5 years. That's a long time. And all that traveling and all that stuff we did, you learn a lot. You experience a lot. You grow, you know, whatever. You go through shit. So when we attacked the newer album, it was like, respect Dead, respect our fan base, respect the work we've done, as well as expand on it, you know? And so I think we did that, especially did it lyrically. There's more themes. The first one was really just about being mad at humanity. And this newer one, there's more themes, different topics that came out of me and not really necessarily consciously. They just kind of came out. And so I ran with them, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's just a bit broader. I think there's maybe wider range of influences on the newer stuff, you know, as far as what I think, you know.
You know, I want to talk about the themes here. For Parasite, you said that it was about the human sickness, you know, an invisible monster, whether it be anxiety, depression, whatever it is. We've all had our inner demons and the struggles. To what level do you like to have a theme for your records? And how important are themes to you? Is that more about helping you guys write or sound, or is that more for the audience? Because a lot of bands, you know, a lot of artists, they don't really care about themes. They just do 10 songs in the studio and that's it. But I feel like you guys had a specific mindset to achieve that.
Mm-hmm. It's not a conscious idea really to do a theme. I think it just kind of what, you know, for like a collective of music, like Misanthrope, I don't think I meant to do it like that. You know, we're not like trying to be Coheed and Cambria or something like that, where we have like, you know, the whole storyline or whatever. But, you know, I think it just happens that way. You're in a moment in time, you are where you're at in your life. And so you're expressing yourself through that, you know? And so, on that first album, I really was in that place, and I was in a pretty bad place, honestly, I think, when I was writing a lot of that stuff, and it's pretty, you know, aggressive, and that's fine. And you know, I'm still that person, you know, I still have all that stuff inside of me in a way, but you know, again, after meditating, working out a lot, doing a lot of things, you know, you change. And, on this album though, there's still plenty of, you know, being mad at things, and but it's a little more introspective, I would say, in the sense of like looking at myself and realizing that like change really, like, you know, it's a cliche thing, but change really does start with you. And so, yeah, not to say it's going to be like, it's not like a super positive album where I'm like, you know, saying like, hey, you know, walking on sunshine or anything, but I think there's just some different vibes. And the album isn't necessarily quite as like honed in on just being mad at humanity like the first one was. You know, there's a bit more, it's a bit broader, I think.
Let me tell you something. I think it's amazing how anything negative or some of our worst tragedies can bring out the best in us. And you did that. So I commend you for that. I think that's one of the most encouraging things anybody can do. And it's great. I think that's amazing that you actually have that as like a staple of who you are for Misanthrope. And for my listeners who don't know, Misanthrope is already out right now on Sheartone Records, Dead's first album. Please pick it up.
Thank you, brother.
Dude, it's great. I love that you said that. I love that you brought that out. It's because I think that it's that much more important. It makes it that much more meaningful. And you worked on the new material with renowned music producer Kevin Cherko. And he's been involved with Five Finger Death Punch, Ozzy Osbourne, Disturbed, Papa Roach. The list goes on for him. Was there a sense of comfortability for you in the studio knowing that he was there? Like, okay, this is what I want. This is what I want to achieve. Let's do it.
Well, it was the first time that we worked with him, you know, so there was like the whole kind of like, let's see if we like each other first. And then we really did, because he's really the best. There was a little bit of like, I guess, nerves, you know, meeting someone that is like that, because I really respect him. I respect, you know, the album done and all that kind of thing. And all the way back to him, you know, working with Mutt Lange, you know, who's like one of the, you know, did Def Leppard and Shania Twain and all kinds of shit.
Shania Twain, like, yeah. I was gonna say Shania Twain. I was like, let's hold it off there.
Yeah, no, you know, like it's music, it's experience, it's a huge, you know, it's huge music. And but yeah, after, you know, and that's usually the case, you know, when you meet somebody that you appreciate or you respect or you look up to artistically, you might be a little like, okay, you know, like, all right, you know, I know who you are, you know what I mean? But then as you meet them, everybody's just a person. And really it comes down to, he is a great person. And like just a really great person. And that is so important to me to work with. And same with when, you know, we did our album with John Feldman. He's a great person. He's a good man. And so those are people that I want to work with. I want to work with good people that represent the same things that I represent in life. And I think that's important. You know what I mean? Like, it's super important. And so, yeah, Kevin is just, I mean, he knows so much more about music than I'll probably ever know, I feel like, in my lifetime. But I think that's why it works. We've had conversations about that where I don't know a lot about music theory necessarily. I'm more of a, on the creative side of things where I can write things. I know it's supposed to sound this way and sound this way, blah, blah, blah. It might be a little more dissonant. It might be a little more chaotic. Same with the guys in Dead. And then Kevin's a bit more like he understands theory. He understands this and that. So the two of us together is really cool. I think, you know, he was saying that, like, if you know too much about the rules, about what you're supposed to do, it'll mess up your art. It's hard to be creative in that because then you're just doing like a, almost like a math problem. You're going, oh, this is where I'm supposed to resolve this note. And this is what I'm supposed to do when you, and there's a lyric from Every Time I Die that I always reference is, the warrior without the instruction manual for his gun is the deadly, is like the deadliest weapon or something like that. You know, something like that. So okay. Like, if you don't have the instruction manual for your gun, you're the deadliest warrior because you don't fucking know. You're just going out there popping off. You're going crazy. You know what I mean? So, and I'm sorry that I misquoted that, Keith. But anyway, you know, something along those lines where I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I know what I like, what it sounds like, blah, blah, blah. And then he can kind of bring it into a different realm of things. And I think those two things coupled together, like, makes for a, you know, a really great team.
You know, being this, that it's your sophomore album that you're working on, between writing, structuring the songs, and the production process that we just talked about, what challenges are you facing this time around, or that you have faced this time around that you didn't actually experience with maybe Manic and Eyes or Misanthrope? What can you take forward from this experience going on?
Like what, like recording?
Yeah. Like what challenges did you face like while recording it? And by challenges, I mean like what made you, okay, this made me become a better vocalist. This made me become a better guitarist. I'm a better musician because of this experience, you know? You can take that forward.
Yeah. Wow. It's hard to put your finger on that sometimes. Because sometimes you don't really know you learned it until you apply it to something and you go, oh yeah, I learned that from Kevin, or I learned that from, you know, Chad or whoever I worked with, you know, however many years ago. I think it's hard. I can't put my finger on it, you know, but I think Kevin really, you know, did things differently than I've ever done them, as far as like, we would work on my vocals for a long time and we would do like different shapes with my mouth and my throat and my stomach, and like just find really small nuances and different things. I never did that before. And I thought that was really cool. And it made me more aware of my body and my instrument, a lot more than I'd really ever been. And I think that was something really cool. But yeah, like I can't think of it exactly, but I definitely know that I learned a lot and I was affected, you know, for sure by it.
Stumped you there.
Yeah, you did. Like I'm saying, it's like, it's hard to like know that exactly. But I know that I did, because I always have in the past. And there were moments in the studio where I remember being like, oh yeah, cool. But I just can't, you know, I can't think of it right off the top of my head.
Do you see the second album being a snapshot of where you are at a certain time in your life?
Yeah, I see every album, you know, every song being a snapshot, you know. Again, when I look back to older music that I did, I'll be like, oh yeah, that's where I was at that time. You know, I was mad about that, or I was, you know, or I was happy about that, whatever it is, or I was supporting this at that time, or whatever. So, you know, the new album will definitely be a snapshot. It'll definitely be me and the guys pretty much living in Las Vegas for like 6 months, you know, which was so cool as well. I never really lived anywhere other than Arizona for most of my life. And so we lived in Vegas pretty much. And so I know my way around there. It's cool. And now, you know, living in New York, I'm learning how to live here as well. And so it's like, you know, just like anything, like we were talking about listening to nostalgic albums. If I'm listening to, you know, where Green Day, Dookie or something, I'm like right back off the smash. Like right
for
back.
For me, it's, I think, I don't even know if this is nostalgia, 'cause I listen to it all the time. It's Siamese Dream from Smashing Pumpkins. That's just, I mean, that goes way back for me, you know? So, you know, I wanted to ask, you know, we're talking about like nostalgic, your origins traced back, you know, from being involved in bands like The Cover Up, Man-Made Machine, and now with Dead, and you've been associated with many different acts. I know with Maria, and she's been a great person there for you as well. And you did that new song off their new album, which is also amazing. You've done a lot of collaborations. So I wanted to ask, you know, have your aspirations as a person or a band, have they changed or evolved since when you first started in the industry? Do you see things differently now?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think 100%, like for when I first started when I was like 15, you know, so that was pretty much just like skating and playing guitar in garages, you know, at that time. Right. Like
we all did that.
That's all you do at that time. And you're just excited to get loud and make noise and play covers of, you know, whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, it's vastly different from when I first started, you know, just being a different person. It's been a long time. And I've learned positive and negative things, you know, about the music industry, about being an artist, about balance in life. I think I've learned that balance is, you know, balance is all throughout nature, you know, and we are nature and we need balance. I mean, I think balance is like the thing that we need in life. Balance for health, for what you eat, for how much you work out, for how much you talk to people, for how much time you have for yourself, for how much work you do, all that stuff. Like, I think balance is imperative. So I guess music is my life. So I equate it to my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I equate it to like me as a person. It's hard to separate the two to say, like, I learned this about music. I've learned a lot about music. I've learned a lot about, you know, songwriting and things like that. But it's also just from my perspective too. It's a loaded question. I mean, I could probably answer it in a million different ways.
Let me put it this way. If it wasn't for the music that you create and the people you're around that you create, I wouldn't be here today. So my appreciation to you for you guys to do what you do. So I think it's amazing that I love how the metal community, we kind of just, it's almost like a family, you know, it's like we lift each other up. We're always there for each other. We all know each other. That's always great. The connections that we make. I think that's amazing.
I totally agree. Yeah. And it's like, you know, you see someone with a fucking Gojira shirt on, you're like, dude, nice. And you know, it's like, we're in the clique together. Like,
that's my favorite band. There you go.
There you go. Absolutely. There, just like that. You'd be wearing a shirt. I'd be like, what's up, dude? Stranded, bro, you know, or whatever. And so yeah, I agree. It's, even though it's a very big genre, there's still such a close, tight knit, you know, whatever. Like you're saying,
I think Rob Zombie said this in this is an interview that's like 15 years old. He said, it's like all the weird kids in one group. You didn't know you were the weird kid. You just ended up being the weird kid, and you find like an area where all the weird kids kind of just come together.
Yeah.
Every time I say that, I always laugh at myself because it's so true. And here we are.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. It's awesome. And I was always like that. I always, you know, I don't know that I was necessarily a weird kid. I think I was a weird kid though. I mean, for sure. But I always vibed with everyone. You know, I was never really part of just one clique. I was always like, I was kicking it with everybody. I just, you know, it's all good, you know, but, so I don't know, whatever.
If you weren't a musician, what would you be doing right now?
Oh man. A couple different things. You know, it's hard to think of that, you know, cause like I've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
A couple of things. I'd probably be in art in some way. I might be like creating album art or t-shirts and stuff like that. I love that stuff. I'm like obsessed with t-shirts and things. You know, my mom is a graphic designer. She did that type of stuff. Cool. So I was always around that. So I think, you know, I think graphic design would probably be something I'd be way into. I would love to make album art. I might even just do that anyway. Like I'm, especially with all this time, I'm like learning Logic and I'm learning, I want to learn like Pro Tools and I, you know, want to, you know, whatever. You know, I was thinking about getting back into skateboarding. I haven't done that in a bunch of, you know, like you have those time. I just want to like just do a bunch of stuff, like learn. And I want to get more proficient in Pro Tools or Photoshop, Logic, all that stuff, like whatever it is. You know, I don't know. There's just, and other than that, like maybe, like how can you imagine your life without the thing that, you know, music, how can you imagine your life without, you know, it's like so hard to think of that, you know,
I like asking that question because a lot of people say, a lot of artists say, I don't know. I don't know what I'd be doing. I'd still be doing music. And here's the thing about album art. I still buy CDs. I still buy vinyls. My corner on that's why I'm on this corner of the room. My other corner in the room, it's just filled with albums. So album art, I think, is just as important as the music you create because there's a lot of work that goes behind that. So
yeah.
I'm all for it. You know, I think you should do that. And we're talking about nostalgia. I don't know if much of a gamer. They just re-released Tony Hawk 1 and 2. And you're talking nostalgia. We're going back. I've been playing that game. I'm not even much of a gamer anymore these days. Yeah. But they released that, and it's like you feel like a kid again playing that game. So just something to put out there.
That's fun, man. I think Tony Hawk 2. I had both of them. That was on PlayStation. Was that PlayStation 1?
That was PlayStation. I had mine on GameCube. GameCube? But it's Tony Hawk 1 and 2 that's remastered. Yeah. So I know you like the game a lot, but they re-released it, and it's amazing. Yeah. Like one of the you talking about remakes, they did it well.
Sure. Okay. Is it the same thing? Is it changed a bit, or it's just exactly the same? Same soundtrack? Or
same soundtrack. You're talking like Goldfinger, you know, Dead Kennedys, like all that stuff. It's all the original stuff, and they added some new modern stuff in there too. So shout out to Activision. You know, I think Activision made it. You know, but shout out to that game for my listeners and for you. I recommend it for all the nostalgia people out there. Man, Joe. Okay, we're talking about 5 favorite albums. You know, I'm gonna ask this question before we finish things off here. Because we're talking about music.
Yeah.
5 favorite albums you can think of at the top of your head.
Okay, at the top of my head. Because I'm sure everyone has to do a disclaimer. Everyone has to do a disclaimer for this. And I'm a huge, like, High Fidelity person. So, like, I'm like Mr. List, like, all the time. Like, I love that movie so much. Off the top of my head, where I'm at right now, in my mind, oh, man.
Putting you on the spot.
Dude, that's so hard to do. I would have to put Weezer Blue Album in there. We were just talking about that.
Of course.
I think that's amazing. Probably Deftones White Pony.
Man, I've been listening. Are we sharing playlists?
Is that right? Yeah, you've been doing that.
Because they just announced Ohms, and I've been revisiting the albums. White Pony is my favorite album from them. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but yeah, go ahead. No,
that one in Diamond Eyes is so good too, though. It's so hard. I mean, probably like Every Time I Die, Hot Damn is one of my favorite albums. That or Go to Phenomenon. It's so hard for me to decide. And I'm doing all heavy stuff, like, or more rock stuff. But I mean, you know, Wu-Tang 36 Chambers, one of my favorite albums.
Wow, that came out of nowhere.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah, but I could go on that with like Cypress Hill, Black Sunday. I could do that, you know, De La Soul, like all that kind of like, you know, mid '90s hip hop, and then, you know, and then now like Run the Jewels and things like that. Man, it's so hard for me to say that. I mean, I could put. You know, the Beatles should be in there. I'm sure the Rolling Stones should be in there. CCR should be in there. Tom Petty should be in there. Like, it's so endless.
But that just goes how impressive that catalog is, because it shows where your influences come from. The more, the better. I mean, I don't even think I can answer that myself. It's always a good tricky question to ask, because some people be like, I don't think I'm listening to anything right now. But okay, yeah, I'll do it. But I love that you kind of just listed like 20 records right then. But that goes to show how much you're listening and how much of an influence is putting on you. Someone like yourself, who's already making an impact in the industry too, you know, for people like me. So that's even more awesome. Man, Joe, so we covered pretty much everything from top to bottom. Do you have any last shout outs, any plugs? Is anything you want to mention about Dead or yourself before we finish things off here?
Yeah. I would say everybody keep wearing your mask. Let's figure this out. And let's also treat each other with respect, and let's unify this human race, and let's respect each other, and let's judge each other off of our character and nothing else. I would say to everybody. And I would also say, I hope everybody's taking care of themselves, balancing themselves, eating well, meditating, all that kind of stuff, taking care of themselves, taking care of their families. And, because it's almost hard to talk about yourself in your band, when like there's all this crazy stuff happening in the world. It's a person, you feel like it's more important, you know, like it's not like, I don't know. It's hard.
It's not. I mean, I get what you're saying. I don't want you to feel that way, because we're doing what we're doing. We're making the best of the situation right now by doing this. Yeah. So, and it's important to get your music out there. Your music is what we need, you know, at this time, and more respect that you're doing that.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, check out the music. Parasite's out. Mannequin Eyes EP is out. Spread the word. I hope you, you know, throw it on when you're hitting the gym or whatever it is. And, you know, new music coming out, new song, new music video coming out, fairly soon. And then hopefully some album details soon. So,
thanks for having me on. No specific date, right?
Nothing. I got nothing yet.
Okay. I'm not going to push you. Don't worry. It's just the excitement's building. And all my listeners, you know, you can listen to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, all major podcast streams, and make sure support the bands, buy the records, because it's that much more important. They need your help now more than ever. They can't do it without you guys. So let's all stick together and we'll make it out here. It's easier said than done, but it's very simple, and let's do this, you know. Joe, thank you so much. Please be safe out there in New York, and we'll do this again next time, brother.
Likewise, man. Thank you so much, man. It was awesome. You'll never get me out of team at the deep. I'll touch yourself, my will is too devout. Down the veins into the stomach while I'm over to you. I'll take it all.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Interview Under Fire podcast. If you guys liked what you heard, please subscribe and share our channel. And please leave a 5-star review, as that helps us tremendously. And also, if you guys have any questions or comments, you can find us at Interview Under Fire at Facebook or at Instagram. Or you can write us directly at schwag@interviewunderfire.com. That's S-C-H-W-A-G @interviewunderfire.com. Or Rezablade, that's R-E-Z-A-B-L-A-D-E @interviewunderfire.com.